Let's bring in Mr. Eddie Izzard. He's been here forever. So
I know.
Here is. Look, it's Eddie Izzard! Hooray!
Doors were open for me, so that was
hi.
Very nice. Hi, how are you doing, man?
Hi.
Oh, look. A hug.
Last time we talked, I was. Oh.
Come around here. Come and sit down.
My coffee's walking.
It's a manly
follow your
coffee.
I can pick coffee up.
Yeah, but we it's like a tractor beam, then we put it there and then you will follow it.
A tractor beam is such a bad word for space, don't you think?
Don't you think? Because you think of a tractor.
Exactly. Tractor is really a farm thing. It should be
like a shuttle beam.
Yeah, it's a shuttle beam.
Or something
slightly more groovy.
Yeah, tractor beam.
Sounds like you're going to pull crops in towards.
Hey, mind your language.
Yeah.
So.
Crops?
See what I did there.
I say crops.
Yeah. Anyway, listen, hi.
PVC's gone somewhere. Do I need to put this on?
You don't have to if you don't want to.
I can hear you.
There will be a ever so slight delay, and it depends if your ears and your brain notice it.
No, you're very clear in the headphones.
Oh, really?
There's no delay? No, it's weird. Oh, I can hear stuff in the background.
Oh, music. That's one of our bits of music.
It's a bit of music. Well, it's great to be here.
It's lovely to have you here.
It was really nice over there, but it's better here.
You've been on our show once. Years and years
ago. I
know,
I was 12.
In the well, then not that long ago.
You are the longest running, aren't you?
In the morning, yeah.
But
you've never been on the morning show. You were on when we did the afternoon show, so it's a long time ago.
That's like the best part
12.
Of 10 years ago.
No.
I was 12.
Was it not?
No.
It can't be far off.
Just go with those 12.
Okay,
just
you're 12.
Yeah.
You're 12.
And Eddie, you were 12.
Yes.
And I've
done that speeded acceleration now, and now I'm 105.
Eddie was 12 years old and was doing. He was gigging at the Ambassador's Theatre, and he went, I might do a video of this, and I went, well, you're crazy, and the rest is history.
Oh, and geography,
right?
And some maths,
right?
And a bit of chemistry.
So you well? How are you?
I'm good. Yes, I am. I'm still doing stuff that I did before. I've got this documentary coming out,
which is
we can talk about at some point. But I'm not pushing that in there. Just, but that's slightly on my brain because last time we talked, I was running.
Well, yeah, because we spoke to you on the phone when you were doing the running.
Absolutely, you were very nice.
Are you bored of talking about that? Are you bored of people asking you about it?
No, I'm okay on that because I hope that other kids. You know, I'm really into the Olympics, and some people were some humming and hurrying. I just say, let's grab this because you won't get another Olympics in our lifetime. Think about it.
Well, that's true
because the last one we had was 1948.
Yeah.
And that is 62 years, it's going to be 64 years. And so if you add 60, it's going to be at least 64 because there's more countries developing and coming in and saying they want the Olympics. It's going to be at least 64. So if you were 10, you'd be 74. This is the one. You want to get involved.
You make a very good point.
You need to embrace it, don't we?
Yeah, and go for it, grab it, wear it as a hat. It's all there. So I'm just really into it. And so hopefully the running thing that some kid might go, I'm going to go out. Maybe some more people are doing some of that. I'm doing swimming now as well.
Are you?
Yeah, because I'm getting into, I want to do, because it does more upper body stuff. But if people want to know how I did those 43, they need to see Believe, the documentary. Because it does really explain me, because it shows the relentless idiots that
I
am.
Well, there are people, trained medical people, sports scientist people who know what they're talking about, who still now say, I actually don't know how Eddie did that run.
But other people have done it. There's people done it since I've done it. There's Dean Karnassus is this American guy who's a crazy runner who ran to kindergarten, apparently, to baby school. And he did 50 in 50 days, and other people have done that. So I don't think it's that hard. It's hard. But
it seems like a phenomenal physical achievement, though. Have you had any injuries or any effects on your knees and stuff?
One leg came off.
Right. Well, it looks like it's back together.
I put it on the other side. That's what ran. I can run backwards quick.
Right.
No, it was fine. It really didn't. Because they said at the end you should keep going because otherwise it'll wear down.
Or something will
come off. But it was all right. I was a bit achy afterwards, but that's all right.
Do you still run?
Yeah, and I'm going to do more. I want to do barefoot running and more swimming. And
why do you want to do barefoot running?
Because that's where we run as human beings.
Yeah, but there wasn't broken glass and dog poo then. Like in those.
Yes, there was dog poo.
There wasn't broken glass.
What, in the days?
In the days of the
hunting days. And if there wasn't broken grass, there were the bones of animals that had died, been ripped apart by other animals.
But I'd rather stand on a bone while running barefoot than stand on an old bottle of Magners.
No, there's very little glass.
Right.
I've done it. I've been out there. I've run on the streets, and there's just way less glass than you'd think.
So you run on what, concrete, on the road?
Yeah, or whatever. Oh, it's really weird talking like this with music be... behind my ears.
Oh, sorry.
It sounds like we're going to the moon or something. And they went, and they talked of things, they went to the moon with endless music.
Well, hang on, let me see if I can give you more familiar music. This is ours, this is our jingle. Do you like this?
But everyone's hearing this. Is this the new thing?
It's just music in the background. But listen, how soothing is this?
I don't know, but then you have to say, and then breakfast cereal will make you live forever.
No,
we'll
it's not
live
like
in the
an
world
ad.
With candy floss.
You can say whatever you want.
Can be called Jim if she wants to.
Barefoot running. One man, 2 feet, no trainers.
Mm. It is one of those. It's good. Oh, someone's just stabbed me in the knee. It's okay, because the music's playing. And
right. Let's take... I'll change the
music. It makes the world a better place, I think.
Oh, hang on.
Because this is real. Oh, yeah.
Right.
Okay, yeah, let's go down and get in the car and we'll go and do something.
It's just radio. That's what we do in radio.
I didn't realise it was so full.
But it's
on.
Meant to just be in the background.
Yeah.
It's meant to be subliminally there.
No, well, I'd notice more of it because I thought people would actually talk and then say, and now we have a track. But we actually.
Well, there is that. Like if we go, and now here's a record, that will come in louder on a level. If you want, I can talk you through the science of what I do.
No, but I just didn't know there was the ding, 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 ding.
So I will play the music at about minus 20. Right,
minus 20.
So it'll just be there in the background. Yeah.
How's it minus?
Well, because that's zero. That's plus 10. That's minus 20. It's like 11 in Spinal Tap. That's all you got to worry about.
You can hear noise at zero.
That's noise there.
That's zero.
Yeah. This is minus 10.
I think that zero might be plus something. I did mathematics at school.
Well, yeah, but just go with it.
We didn't.
Listen, I don't go and see you live and go...
No, I'm just...
And you're going, so the man, the Pope, when he's got the big hat, and I go, excuse me, sorry, why is it dark behind you,
you're
but there's a light...
To,
really?
You're allowed to. People heckled me, and then
but I wouldn't.
I rip them apart with my bare words.
I like that.
Would that be deemed as a heckle if I were to interrupt and ask about the staging of the show?
That would be a heckle. But I would listen to your heckle.
Right.
And I was taking the mickey out of opera singing, actually, when I was playing Dallas.
Right.
In an arena in Dallas, right. And an opera singer got up and started heckling me back with their own singing. They sang a note of opera. So I said, all right, go on, have the stage, have the aircraft hangar to yourself. And this guy sang this big, long opera note and big round of applause, and that was great. And then someone else got up and did it. Five opera singers got up and sang separately.
On the same night?
Yeah, we all, you know, just singing one note separately. It was like
Were they all together?
It was like the Twilight barking in 101 Dalmatians.
Right.
What are the chances
but
of
opera
that?
Opera singers. There was, it's 4-1. 4-1 on.
Yeah,
that's the chances of that.
Eddie!
No, they didn't say
I don't right. like your set.
They just go... And it's basically... You need to have the bendy bit, you see. The vibrato, yeah.
You know that?
Because without that, it's not opera.
Well, without this...
Yeah, and they say, well, that's not opera. I'm not going to that.
And you'll be like, that's the worst heckle I've ever heard. Eddie!
No, but people have said were and other things to me, which can't be even said.
I don't think you've ever had a were. I don't think.
No, I'm not sure. I've had noises. There's noises. I just, you know, you have to. If someone heckles you in the early days, I'd really go in and tear them apart.
Yes.
Yeah, that's where we thought you were going to say.
It's great being on the BBC, isn't it?
I would talk to them severely. I would.
Yeah. I would say to them, "You,
you fool!
You,
yeah. Yes,
you fool!
So,
you
do
naughty
you,
person.
Do you run every week? Do you run every, like, you know, regularly?
I'm doing a lot more swimming now.
Okay,
I swam in the ocean.
Wow.
3/4 mile, which it really scares me, swimming, so, because of the going down bit.
Well, this is it. Like, swimming in a swimming pool is one thing.
You mean you get scared of it getting eaten by something in the sea?
Just forgetting, running out of puff.
Oh, I see, right. Mm.
And you go... Yeah, all that noise.
Mm. See, there'll be no opera singers around there to help you then.
But I will. But are you running? Because you were running.
I was running a lot. By my standards, I was doing 20 miles a week minimum. And then I did my leg in. And then I went to see people.
It came off?
Pretty much, yeah.
Never fully, though, was it? It was sort of partially attached.
No, and then I had a problem with it. Then there was my flat. I've got flat feet, and then I had to get orthotics in, and then I had to kind of learn how to walk and run again. And start from the beginning.
If you go barefoot running, apparently you develop your arches back.
Really?
This is what.
See, that would be very handy.
Yeah.
Because I have no arch in my foot. I'm completely flat-footed.
I know, they say that. And you can't get the army. Remember World War II?
Yeah.
Flat feet. I can't go and kill Nazis.
Yeah.
And,
which is ridiculous.
Yeah, you just thought...
Okay. I want to fight for my... Oh, let me look at your feet. No.
Really? Yeah, no, I couldn't work out. I don't know quite what flat feet... Does it mean your whole body explodes when you're...
Well, no.
Are you in danger to other people?
I'm really not, Eddie. Honestly.
No, I've never quite understood what the downside is of the flat foot. Your feet are flat, therefore,
but look,
touch the ground.
But look, I have orthotics in my shoes.
I know.
Which means that I'm normal, just like you.
Mm. I had orthotics, and I had one big golf ball bit at the back, which was really weird when I put it on. But
it
did change my running, and then I could do.
See, that's the thing that I'm lucky about, is that it's both feet. It's not just one foot, it's both feet.
If you were...
Otherwise, I'd walk around like this.
If you were of interest to the army, so you're saying that they wouldn't actually sign you up because of your flat feet?
Yeah,
there's World War II. I don't know if they'd do it anymore.
Hmm.
But
they'd find a job for you now, though, wouldn't they?
Me?
Yeah.
Well,
you could work in a stores or a chef.
Well, I'd be like the wacky DJ, like Robin Williams.
Yeah, like Good Morning
Vietnam.
She was
wacky on the radio,
yeah,
but in real life, quite kind of like intense and subdued.
Mm. Can I say hello to HMS Albion? Because... While I'm doing this, I don't know if I can.
Sure, why not?
Yeah, I'm just going to say that because I met them all. Because I was playing New York doing a play there, and they're somewhere in a boat, you know, the HMS Albion. So,
right.
And I went around, and these guys said, you should come and have a look around the boat. And I thought, can you? Because, you know, you don't know if you can if you're a civilian. You know, can I walk around a military boat? And they said, yeah, come on over. Ask for Steve or something. So I went around. She was a chief petty officer. And, oh, hello. And well, I went around and I asked for him. He was out. It was really weird. So I was standing with a couple of sailors and Marines, and I said, they said, well, we'll show you around. I said, all right. So I just got shown around the building.
The boat.
The boat, which was a building.
Mm.
And I went back again. Yeah, I went back twice. So it was nice. So
was Steve there the second time?
No.
Oh,
I never met Steve. Steve wasn't even the guy who I met in the first place. I just said ask for this guy and he wasn't there. But they were it was really nice for them. Just, you know, just people on the boat, men, women, showed me around. So.
Maybe that's the secret password. If you want to get on the boat,
Steve.
If you ask for someone who's there, then it's a no. Mm. Maybe the rule is they never have a Steve on board.
Is Steve, it's like a Monty Python. Is Vic there? Mm. Is Vic in? Yeah. Come around the boat.
Sure.
It's weird because with that many people on a ship, you'd think that statistically there'd be a Steve, wouldn't you?
There probably is.
You know,
Steve is one of my backup names. Yeah.
Captain Steve.
Steve and Jeff. Jeff Vader.
All right, so look, so you're swimming a lot.
This is Ocean's Music.
You're running. It is Ocean's Music, but so is the last one.
Ah, I didn't know that.
So swimming, running, barefoot.
Yeah.
Lovely.
And I swim barefoot as well.
I
don't wear clogs.
You don't wear trainers?
Don't wear clogs.
Or flippers.
No, you can wear flippers and you can go a lot faster.
Mm.
And if you meet a dolphin, you can say, I've got things on. Your name. And the dolphin.
Wow.
Dolphins are very intelligent and they'll just go, well, that's not a good joke. I wonder if dolphins, because they're intelligent, aren't they?
Mm.
I wonder if they have a sense of humour. And they do, I think, don't they?
Yeah.
Sometimes
they look like they laugh sometimes, don't they?
And you know killer whales are dolphins.
Are they what, just bigger ones?
Yeah, but they've changed the name. They're not killer dolphins, because we don't think... But killer whales are apparently from the dolphin family.
So they're technically killer dolphins?
Yeah, which we just don't...
But why do people always perceive killer whales to be friendly things? Because surely the clue is in the name, isn't it?
No, they don't perceive killer whales to be...
But they have them...
Whales don't eat you.
But they have them at sort of, you know, marine parks and stuff, and they're seen as being...
And then...
Yeah, and sometimes it goes wrong, but...
It went wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Dave, not all sharks are horrible sharks.
No, I know.
Not all sharks will eat swimmers.
There's friendly sharks that you go swimming with and stuff.
Yeah, friendly hammerhead sharks will come and help you with your fence.
Yeah, yeah. Or put up shelves.
Just imagine being a hammerhead shark and saying, what a silly head I have.
I've never imagined that, but I have often thought about being a goldfish.
Yeah, and how does that work?
Well, because...
They have 30-second memory.
Yeah, they've got 30-second memory. And I wonder if all their thought process is, where am I? What am I doing here? This is a bit weird. I'm in a goldfish bowl. Who's he? Well, I can swim. What am I doing here? I'm in a goldfish bowl.
But I'm like that about 3 days a week.
Because that's the flaw in Groundhog Day, in the movie Groundhog Day.
Yeah?
Where He repeats the same day again and again and again. So he can learn how to play the piano and he can learn about all these people. That's fine. But then in the final few scenes where everyone is his best mate and they're all going, hey, how are you? He would have not have achieved that bond in one day with all those people. Fact.
Yes.
He would be, it'd be more like, where am I?
No, I'm but didn't he? Ball. But he saved lives, didn't he? Like he did the Heimlich maneuver on the guy. And
yeah,
so
but he'd have to do that every single day to every single person.
Well, he did sort of, didn't he? He did.
I'm not buying it.
The women in the car, he did. He changed the tyre, so they were happy, and they'd only met him that day.
Yeah, but I'm not buying it.
Well, you should buy.
I'm not buying it.
Didn't he stop someone getting run over by a truck as well?
Download it then.
Well, yeah, or rent it.
I've already got it, but I am not buying it.
I like the ice sculpture. I would like to do that.
The what?
Ice sculpture.
Okay.
You know, he does ice sculpture.
Yeah, yeah. You'd like to do an ice sculpture.
Well, wouldn't it be great? I mean, to be able to do it. Because if I did it, it was just like, that looks like ice that's now
How do you
wonky.
Learn to do ice sculpture? Because surely, like most things, when you first learn, you'd be a lot slower. And with ice sculpture, if you're really slow...
Why are you asking Eddie Izzard, how do you learn to do ice sculpture?
It's rhetorical questions.
No, but because you would be slow. You know, you build up speed, and if you're really slow, by the time you got it as a learner, there would be water.
Yeah, you stand in a fridge and do it. You get your fridge, you know your mum's fridge.
Yeah.
You get in there.
Like a big one, like a chest freezer.
No, he's been in movies with George Clooney and Brad Pitt, and you're asking him about ice sculptures.
I'm just curious.
I do know.
He ran a million miles in an hour.
I do know a lot about ice sculptures. Yeah. Well, no, I don't actually.
He doesn't know anything about it. Just why are you going down that road?
I'm just curious.
No, but it is a quite beautiful thing, and I think you get a lot of sex. I don't know if we can say that word.
From ice doing ice sculpture.
Yeah, didn't in the film he does ice sculpture. Yeah,
it's not a documentary. It's not a scientific report.
No, I would be impressed by myself by doing ice sculpture.
Well, then you can have sex with yourself then.
Yes, we can say that word. Good.
It depends what you're doing the sculpture of.
Yeah, imagine.
And just be careful on the webcams of you doing the sculpturing business.
No, I'm doing hammering. No, this is I'm doing the
like a sander.
No, the what's it called? It buzzsaw.
An ice.
Yeah.
They use one of those, don't they? They use a brawn shaver.
Yeah, you can't sand ice, can you?
Yeah, but it's the same. I don't know. Why are you asking me? I don't know. I'm a disc jockey from Leeds.
You're from Leeds?
Yeah. I don't know anything about... just up the M1. I don't know anything about...
I was a chef at uni.
Well, really?
I went by train to Leeds.
Oh. Once. Well, if you ever back, give me a shout. I'll tell you where you can go.
Oh, right, is it? It's
a nice bus.
Do you hang out
there? Bar.
Mm. Yeah, down here?
Occasionally, yeah. Right. Well, I live down here. Occasionally hang out with her.
My in-laws
like to get away, you know.
Did you see the film? The
Yeah.
It was great, wasn't it?
I really liked it. I was there for some of the filming of it.
The one,
the one Back to the Future.
No. It's about Leeds football team and Derby County and
the Damned United.
There you are, the Damned United. Mm. Yes, I saw it.
Yes, I really like Michael Sheen, and I thought a lot of good acting. Oh, even though the story is just, you know, some people dispute it. I think the family's
right. Yeah,
dispute still,
but it's still a very good book, and it's still a very good
fascinating film.
Yeah, did that make you love Leeds United a little bit when you watched that?
Well, I didn't realize when I was a kid growing up. I just thought they won a lot of stuff, and I didn't realize there was the allegations of non-beautiful football.
Well, no, it was a different time back then. It was a different game.
I know, but
And Leeds weren't really that dirty. It was just the way the game was played.
Muddy pitches, jumpers for goalposts.
Yeah, no, muddy pitches.
In those days, you could punch another player, and sometimes it wasn't even worth a yellow card.
Yeah. That Charity Shield, that actual footage of Charity Shield is quite amazing, though, isn't it?
It's really... The whole film is really good. It's all good. Anyway, listen. We need to break for the news, and then we need to come back. And I need to ask you some questions about things.
All right.
Like an interview.
Yes.
We can talk about goldfish bowls and Groundhog Day all day long, but we have to do...
An ice sculpture.
I want to talk about Believe, the DVD, which is Eddie Izzard's story, which is... Stop slurping your tea.
Everyone should have a story.
Well, yes.
This is my one.
Yeah, sure. Everyone should have a story named after themselves.
Should you not do men slurp tea more than...
I slurped.
I think so. Mm.
Yeah, I thought it was what you're supposed to.
See, I'm not allowed to slurp tea.
Is that not allowed on the BBC?
Well,
since things happen.
Do you know what? It's one of the few things there isn't a rule about. But after today's interview, that will be it.
Try and slurp. I just tried to slurp to do it again. I couldn't do it.
Really?
I actively try and slurp.
I can comedy slurp, but I can't proper slurp.
I can't do it when I try to do it. Oh, you do it. Hang on. What have I got to
do? Do you gargle?
No, the coffee?
Tea?
Sure. Tea?
No.
You never done that?
No, what's the point? Oh, no, when I got sore throat, yeah, I gargle anything.
What have you got there, coffee?
Yeah.
You've never gargled coffee in your life?
No, not unless I've got a bad throat, I will gargle boiling hot.
Listen, it's a first.
Yes.
But this is what I think you do with your life. You do things you've never done before.
I want people in cars to do this. Is it drive time? Still drive time?
Sure.
Here we go.
Don't do it if you're driving.
How was that?
I used to do this with Friars Bolson.
Well, did you like that, though?
Well, I had sore throat. No, I didn't gargle that. No, it was something else. Oh, was that red liquid that, I don't know, something.
Don't dismiss it.
What?
Don't dismiss it. Embrace it.
No, there was something, Friars Bolson. I used to inhale Friars Bolson because I had endless laryngitis. Apparently, it's a virus thing that can keep coming back. And as a kid, I had it multiple times. And I went to a specialist, and he said, you've got to stop talking for 6 months, otherwise your voice is going to go forever. And then I was with the woman who was the headmaster's wife, and she said, that's rubbish. And I thought, I don't know how to take information out of these two people. So I just went back, and then I didn't talk very loudly for a bit, and then it went away. And I think it might have been scared away from me.
Wow.
My brain. It could have been a psychosomatic thing going on there.
Wow.
But it's an interesting story that put everyone to sleep.
And more stories like this in the new DVD.
No, the DVD's got the more interesting ones.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
it doesn't have that one in?
No.
Oh, man. That's a downer.
It's a good story.
All right, well, look, let's do a little. We'll do a little trail for the Teen Awards, and then we'll do the news and sport, and we'll play a song, and we'll come back with more of Mr. Eddie Izzard.
BBC Radio 1's Teen Awards.
Eddie Izzard just said to me, hey, any chance you can play Chasing Status with Hypest Hype? And I said, sure. And we put it on. He's just loved that. It's a shame the webcams were off.
He's bouncing around the
studio. He knows all the words and everything. I'm very impressed, Eddie.
Well, I just wrote them down the back of a cigarette pack.
Wow. You don't even smoke.
I know. But I'm allowed to write.
You know you can just get notepads.
Are you not allowed to write on BBC? We're allowed to, right?
Yeah. You can just about write.
Mm.
So, look, lots of things to ask about. Eddie's DVD, Believe, the Eddie Izzard story. It's Eddie's story, by the way.
Yeah.
Is out on Monday, this coming Monday. And by the way, if you know someone who's an Eddie Izzard fan, far be it for me to say it, but it would make an ideal Christmas present.
Mm. Well, it's because it's about the story of just getting things going. It did take me ages to get anything going. So hopefully it's because I am a bit relentless, and it kind of explains the marathon thing. So hopefully it should resonate with any other kid or, you know, wanting to get something and do something. And, you know, in the creative world, it's quite hard. Or even in business, whatever they want to do, politics, whatever it is. Hopefully other people can look at that and think, well, I could do stuff like that. If he could do that stuff like that, then I'll do stuff like that.
I like
so
it.
Hopefully that's what's in there.
Do you know what?
It's Emmy nominated as well. I've got an Emmy nominated, which is amazing.
That's good.
It's very rare to get that.
But you didn't win.
No, you don't need to.
Oh.
Because once you get Emmy nominated, people forget after 3 years and they go, right. Oh, you won.
So just say you won.
No, 3 years' time, people.
Oh, sure.
Then
okay.
You don't say that. They just print it down. I think he won. But it was the people who made it. So.
I'm a big fan of yours.
Thank you.
And I do feel, in a weird way, and I wonder if anyone else is the same about this, I feel in a weird way very proud of your success. And I feel as though I was there from, certainly not the beginning, but from the very early days.
You were there from six marathons in. And it was a rainy day when I talked to you.
No, but I mean you generally.
What?
I mean you.
Career-wise.
Yeah. So I remember buying Live at the Ambassadors.
Oh, wow.
On video. Because I don't think it was on DVD.
No, it was on video. It was the first one. Yeah.
I remember that. And by the way, then... And the fact that I bought, because I didn't really, I'd heard a bit about you, and I hadn't really, I'd never seen you, I thought, I'm going to buy this because I've heard good things. And then 1993, the craze in Britain, the popular videos that were selling, were all the police camera action videos, which they started releasing.
Crash Bang Wallop.
Yeah, and I went, no, I'm not going to go with it, I'm going to go with something new.
I was counter-programming to that.
Yeah.
I wasn't so Crash Bang Wallop, but I was Surreal and Jesus and Sandals.
You were. And that video... is Eddie on stage in like a jeans and a shirt and a microphone, and then a few videos then turn into DVDs,
yeah,
and then He's dressed in kind of like what seemingly is like red velvet or red leather, and he's a big, and it's all a, it's a big show. And I'm like, see, I was there at the beginning when it was just a man and a microphone. And
well, it was, you know, I told people I was a transvestite at that point, so there was a slightly more girly look as
but in
as
the first one though, I think you might be wearing jeans and maybe
I was swapping night to night. I was actually going wearing a dress one night and not the next night.
Okay.
Which was confusing everyone, including me.
Especially the wardrobe people as well.
There weren't any wardrobe people.
No.
There were people in wardrobes, but they weren't.
But they weren't looking after your clothes.
They were doing that Narnia book thing. Wow. They were knocking at the back. Did you do that when you were a kid, getting the wardrobe?
What, just to see if you could go to Narnia? Yeah. No.
I used to think if you could crawl through the TV, you would end up where you're watching.
Well, that would be nice. Yeah.
I used to think that.
I think someone should build a wardrobe in a big house.
And a door.
Yeah, at the back of it and have a...
Well, they did. It was called Canoe Man, and there's a brilliant BBC documentary
about it. Oh, yeah, that guy on Teesside, or Hartlepool, or wherever it was.
He built Narnia at the back of his...
Well, kind of, yeah.
Do you know that story?
You must know the Canoe Man.
The man who went missing, and they believed him to be dead. And he wasn't. And he'd lived in the house next door. And they put a hole in the wardrobe. And when the kids went to school, whatever, he would come out the wardrobe and have breakfast with his wife, and then go back. When anyone knocks at the door, he would go back through the wardrobe to the other house.
Was it an insurance thing?
Yeah.
Was it that the family? I don't know.
And the BBC did a film about it. It's brilliant.
And the kids were not happy about it.
Well, they thought their dad was dead.
I know.
And then it turns out he wasn't.
That's not...
So which is slightly different to the Narnia story.
Wouldn't it be good, though? You know the way that some people have, like, not just... Their house isn't just a number in a street. They also have a name as well. Like, it might be Freshfield, 63 Acacia Avenue. Imagine if the house was called Narnia next door, where he was actually staying.
Yeah. And he dressed as a lion.
Imagine the milkman coming around and like,
and he's now looking, going, I'm not with your surrealist comedy.
But you're going to ask me a question, weren't you?
Somewhere. I'm going to ask questions.
All right.
But I'm setting it up.
All right.
So, I get excited when I see you in the Ocean's movies.
Oh, right.
You know, in fact, one of them was on the other night. I think Ocean's 13, I think, was on the other night. and it's the bit towards the end where you're involved in the big heist.
Well, I'm actually all over the beginning, and then.
Well, no, I know, and you're also in the second one, but you know.
No, but in 13, I'm really just at the beginning, and then I come back on a wave at two-thirds of the way through. But it is really all the scenes are at the beginning.
But you're also in
12. It's further towards the end when I.
Well, maybe it's 12 then.
Maybe it's 12. That's the one with the egg and the thing.
No, it wasn't the egg one.
All right,
are you not dressed as a security guard or something in 13?
13, later on, I'm drinking a can of something or other, of a soft drink. I don't know if we could say that.
That was it, then?
But it's at the beginning. It's because it was an extra bit that was filmed. It was just me, Brad, and George endlessly for 2 days.
Sure.
Talking to each other. And me trying to get in the camera, because Steven Soderbergh kept moving it towards George and Brad, and I learned to act backwards because I worked out I couldn't get in the camera unless I did. I couldn't talk to Brad and George because it'd just be the back of the head stuff. So I did a lot of walking away from them and talking to them.
Right,
walking into the camera. It was quite an art that I learned.
When you turn up to film for the first one, for Ocean's 12,
yeah.
Do George Clooney and Brad Pitt know who you are? Have you met them before?
Yeah, well, George got on the phone, because I had Jerry Weintraub, the producer, phone up and say, Eddie, you want to come down and do this stuff in Italy? It's a couple of weeks out, you're going to come down. Here's George, and he just handed me over to George. George, with exactly the same voice, said, hey, Eddie, why don't you come and do this? So, yeah, George, he must have always just was handed the phone and he was talking
to him. So, have you ever spoken to him before this?
I hadn't spoken to him.
Right.
Brad had come to a gig before. Brad had come with Jennifer Aniston to a gig.
So. Right.
So I met him before and...
So then George Clooney rings you out of the blue in theory and then says, come film and movie. And you go... first of all, where are you where this phone call?
I was in my bedroom in up at Kensal Rise.
Right, okay. So you're in London, in your bedroom, phone goes, and within 20 seconds, George Clooney's going, come and be in our big movie.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, sure.
Yeah, that was it. It was one of those weird moments. Yeah, I could be there. I'll just...
And then when you turn up to film, or the first time I meet him, does George Clooney go, Eddie, how are you? And you go, George, it's
weird. Well, they did. No, they were very high, because they, they were just very welcoming. And then and you sat down, and then you were on a rooftop, and the sun was going down, and everyone was playing Texas Hold'em poker stuff.
Nice.
And that was my first night. We were just playing poker with.
What a great life!
It was a tragically difficult time.
Mm. Yeah, I bet.
And George Clooney's very good at table football, and I'm very good at table football, but he beat me, and I need a rematch with him. I need to practice a bit more first, but he was annoyingly good, because I'm annoyingly good.
Well, you can need to get practicing between swimming.
Yeah, table football is just something I did a
lot. Do they call it foosball?
Why
is that? Because that's like the German for football.
I think they must have got some German-made things.
Table football.
That's foosball. And then they said, hey, it must be called foosball.
Yeah.
But they say
that in Friends a lot, don't they? They play foosball.
I know, and you think, it's not. I say table football. Yeah. It's football and table. Yeah.
You spend a lot of time in America. Do you get annoyed by the fact that the Americans get so many words wrong? Does that annoy you? Like aluminium and things like that?
Well, I know the aluminium story.
Oh, really?
An American came up with aluminium. Aluminium.
Aluminium.
And he said, look, I got aluminium. And so he called it that. He called it aluminium. And then in Europe, we were sort of in charge of everything. Not only the British, and everyone in Europe.
Yeah.
And it was, I think, 1800s or something. So we said, no, it's strontium, lithium. They all have eums. You can't drop the I out. So we said, we don't care if you've called it aluminium. We're going to call it aluminium.
Wow.
And we shoved the I in.
So we corrected their mistake.
I believe that's what the thing is.
Well, take that, America.
Mm.
And then the herbs, they don't put an H on. And I think that's because the French were saying les herbes, but we put the herb in there. And so they probably French people were doing a lot of, they like the French cooking. So they said, hey, these guys say herbs.
Herbs.
What about, go for the herbs.
What about, they also can't say the name Craig. They say Craig.
I say Craig, but there's another one, Bernard. That's the one.
Another one.
It's Bernard.
It's Bernard, mate.
And they also say Caribbean, and it's Caribbean.
It's Caribbean.
And there's one that I call it tomatoes, which is tomatoes, and I just can't do that. I can't. I have to say, can I get some tomatoes without tomatoes? Because quite often you say tomatoes, they go, what are they? Are they spacecraft?
I mean, but that's not difficult to translate, though, is it? I mean, I know that they have a different thing.
I have sometimes been in some places in America where if I asked for something in with an English accent, and they go, I don't know what you're saying. And I have to ask it in an American accent. I said, do you have any water? Do you have any water bottles?
Mm. And they just look blank at you.
Bottles of water. Mm. What is that? So I had water. Because they say water is so quite a lot different than what you say. So water, some liquid water. what's the purified liquid water?
They do. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, water.
Do you remember when we were in LA? I've only been to LA once. We were doing the show with LA, and we went out. For dinner.
Mm. See if you can guess what it was.
Tell him. Yeah. So we'd all ordered different things, and we said, "What do you recommend?" and all that sort of stuff. So he said, "Well, how about the Flaming Yan?" And we sort of looked at him. The flaming
yam.
Flaming
I thought it was. Yam. You know, like the yam
you,
is.
Now,
like,
Eddie's nodding. Do you know where
flaming yam?
The filet mignon.
Yeah.
Well, the other one.
We were there for 10 minutes ago. We don't want a flaming yam.
There were six of us around the table. We asked him four times, and everyone got embarrassed and walked away. We waited until he was out of earshot before we went. What did he say?
But you know,
flaming yam.
But you know, times,
he was trying to sell us the flaming yam, and I'm just thinking, I just want a steak.
Yeah, exactly.
I, there's no steak even on the menu. Mm. Just flaming yam.
Risotto becomes risotto.
Risotto.
And what's the other one? Parmesan cheese.
Parmesan.
I've had that. I had that in Miami. I'm sitting in a nice hotel in Miami. First of all, I'm in a hotel called the Delano.
Yeah.
And my travel agent says, you should go to this place called the Delano. It's lovely. I said, I've heard of the Delano before. And so we fly to the Delano, and they say at customs, when you get to America, where are you staying? And I say, I'm staying at the Delano. Oh, the Delano. Very nice. And then you get in the car, and they go, you're going to the Delano, sir? And I say, yes, I am. And you get out of the car at the Delano, and the guy opens the door and says, welcome to the Delano. And I'm like, how do you... And everyone in the hotel called it the Delano. So I'm in the Delano. And I order a chicken Caesar salad.
With a flaming yam.
With no parmesan. Mm.
Yeah.
No what? No parmesan? No what? No parmesan? No cheese? Oh, parmesan. And I'm like, come on.
Parmesan,
You didn't get that?
But now, even though...
That's like saying, can I have a table for
but
tea?
But I must say, even though American people do pronounce a lot of words differently to us, they did get to the moon. And even with those pronunciation things.
Yeah, but it's probably not called the moon. It's probably called the Mon.
Or the Mon.
And they.
I always say to Americans, we would have gone to the moon in the UK, but we didn't want to.
Exactly. No.
Yeah, we were busy.
You know, it's like that car race at the thing. Like, no, I don't want to go.
Yeah.
We were fine here. But I think now we should go, when no one's looking, we should go to the moon.
Yeah.
And just appear there. Don't even tell anyone you're going. Mm-hmm. Just get there.
But I think when no one's looking, when no one else should, we should go to the moon. We should go to the moon and build something there. So then the next people
out
go,
of Lego.
The Americans turn up and go, hang on a second, there's a bar. And there's a bar and it's got buddies or something or Tonys.
Moonies.
Yeah.
Or leaves and pants.
Something like that. Mm. I'll put a pillar box. Something. Yeah. Something very British. Like a smashed up phone box.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if you'd have to glue the broken glass down on the floor. I don't know how that would work.
Glass. You can do barefoot running on the moon.
Right. Okay. That's fine. Yeah. Anyway, look, Eddie's DVD is out on Monday. Everybody must buy it. It comes out Monday. It's called Believe, the Eddie Izzard Story. So please buy it, because that would be great. Thank you. And you can learn all about Eddie's amazing story from when he was born in Yemen and to him becoming a huge worldwide star and speaking French.
You make it sound so crazy. I'm going to do French gigs next year.
More. Yeah, but see, I can't get excited by that because my French is very limited.
That's cool, but I'm just trying to push myself because I'm a United Kingdom-y person.
How long will you be doing...
United Kingdom-y people should...
How long will you do gigs for in France?
3 months.
Why don't you come here and do 3 months?
Well, I had I did at the Lyric Theatre and it was stripped and came out as a DVD.
Yeah, but don't think that you being funny in English is not as clever as you being funny in French, because we...
No, I'm exporting stuff. It's good. Right, okay, it's right. Balance of payments and helicopters.
All right. Fine.
Eddie played St Albans as well, Chris. I went to see him there. Have I mentioned that?
Was that a woman? Because it sounds a bit French, St Albans?
No, it's Laughs Saint in the Park. It was the capital of Roman Britain, wasn't it?
Verulamium. It was brilliant.
Which means something. But it was great. Laughs in the Park. It was the baby Woodstock of comedy.
Mm.
We did three comedians outdoors, three nights, and we're going to do it again next year. And it was great. And people stayed out there. We had fireworks at the end.
Yeah. And I was there on the last night when it rained, so everyone was rained.
But people still stayed. And
yeah, they did. It was lovely.
It was very groovy because, we've always been like the poor relation as the comedy tent attached to a music gig. And now it's comedy festival. That was the Woodstock, except we had 5,000 people there and Woodstock had...
Would you not call it Eddie Fest?
No, because it's Laughs in the Park. Anyone could be there. I don't have to be there.
Right, okay.
But I want to do it. I had so much fun there. I was watching other stand-ups, and you could hang out. You could have hot cider, which...
Mm. I had some hot cider.
Yeah.
It's nice hot
cider. We had that in Devon once, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. We went the same.
Would you not want to do, though, that open-air gig thing when it's just a little bit warmer?
We're doing it in July next year, I think.
Brilliant!
Yeah, we should all go.
Oh, so there you go. So July, it's still probably rain in this country.
I know, exactly so. But you'll rain in nice
70
warm
degrees
rain.
And chucking it down.
That'd be nice. 70
degrees centigrade. You'd be there with your hot cider.
Yeah.
70 degrees centigrade.
Can I suggest, and far be it from me to get involved in your business, but can I suggest if you do it in the summer, so you hear that sigh there from Eddie, as an option for the warm cider is also just chilled cider.
Yeah, I know.
Thanks.
We can do that. We can do all sorts of stuff.
Thanks.
We had toilets and everything.
Mm. Really?
The toilets were really good.
I just want a glass. That's all I need.
Flush toilets.
Wow.
Yeah, and you step up to them. It's not as though you just open the door.
Posh ones.
There were stairs.
Porter cabin toilets.
We had the whole 9 yards.
In St Albans?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, you couldn't get away with that in Leeds.
Nah.
The toilet roll would be gone. And
my dad was evacuated there in 1940, so I thought it was his 82nd birthday, so it was like a bit of a present for my dad, even though the council had said, hey, you can come there. And I said, hey, yeah, that works. I'll invite my dad.
Did he tell your dad?
He stayed up till 3 a.m.
Your dad did?
82-year-old dad, yeah. Who got in a Spitfire last year, in 2009.
You got him a Spitfire?
He flew in a Spitfire.
Right, sorry. Right. I thought you said you got him a Spitfire. I just thought it was like a present?
Ta-da! No, he sat in the back of it. He went flying in a Spitfire.
Nice.
That's a brilliant present.
Yeah.
Does he like your comedy?
We have the same sense of humour in the family.
Right.
He was watching Python when we were kids, And I think he likes it.
Right.
He tells other people. I've never actually been able to see him laugh at the stuff.
Well, next time you play St Albans, why don't you put Dominic next to your dad and he can secretly film him for you laughing.
I do need to see that.
With a very small camera.
In full chuckle vision.
Yeah.
Or he could signal you by maybe scratching the top of his head so you know which bit in your routine that your dad laughs at.
No, the filming's better.
Sure, okay, fine.
Filming's better. You look like Oliver Hardy again when you do that.
I don't look like Oliver
Hardy.
Can I just say, by the way, I love the Riches.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I like doing it.
It's never been shown here, is it?
Or it was. It was shown on Sky.
Sky One.
Oh, was it?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, I bought it. I buy it off the iTunes.
Yeah, no, it was great. Unfortunately, they finished. We did two seasons, a series of that. I call it seasons. But I'm going to go back and do another TV series. I've just done, I think, called United States of Tara with Toni Collette. Very good Australian.
Yeah, what is that? Is that a film? Is that?
That's a series. It's a sort of, what they call it, it's a half an hour. They call it a comedy, but it's, they do very quirky, dramatic comedies.
Right.
About a woman with multiple personalities.
So The Riches is not coming back?
It's not coming back. Might, yeah, there's a film script floating around, but the money's got really tight.
So it's gone.
Since the capitalist crisis.
So, because
the subprime market.
Because I invested in this series. two seasons.
It's true, isn't it?
Yeah.
Not caused by anybody's policies.
Subprime lending.
Don't change the subject. I'm trying to find out what happened to all the characters in this show that I watched for two series. And then they do this thing in America where they go, "Ah, oh, that'll do." And you go, "No, no, what do you mean that will do? No. I've invested so much of my time and life. I've even got used to Eddie's American accent, and now I've embraced it, and now I love it."
Samuel L. Jackson agrees with you. I was in a lift with him, and he said, "What happened?" He sounded like George Clooney. He said, "What happened to your son?" He said to me, and I said, "I don't know, Sam. We're going to try and work it out." So, because my son was kidnapped.
No, I know. But, like, kind of casually kidnapped, though.
Yeah.
He was voluntarily kidnapped. He was the most relaxed kidnapped. In fact, virtually the last scene you see him, he's having a drink by a campfire. It's very relaxed. He's having a ball.
But his kidnapper said he kidnapped him, so... He kidnapped his soul.
Right. Which was still inside them. They did take him as well.
Yeah.
Eddie's accent in The Riches is great.
What, American accent?
Yeah.
I just did the David Mamet play, and I got, from Hollywood Reporter, flawless American accent, so it's fine. But it does sound...
Is it similar to Wayne Malloy?
Yeah, it is. Right. But it does... Some people find it odd, because they've heard me talk like this for so much, but if I was talking in American accent for so long, I had to stay in it like this, you know? And I would go around town, and I would say, you know, can I buy some Cocoa Pops?
Water.
Or whatever it was. Water. To practice, to stay in there, I had to stay in it all the time. And
wow.
And then people say, "This is so weird, you know, because we know that you normally talk like this."
But it's true because Minnie Driver is in it, isn't this show?
That's exactly right.
And Minnie is English.
She's English, yeah.
And she has, but obviously, Minnie's done American accents in many films and shows. So you're right, you do go. Oh, Eddie is that's an American accent. You never think for one second, so is Minnie Driver.
But Hugh Laurie as well.
But I think Hugh suffers from this, that we know Hugh from a lot of English things here.
Yeah.
And then he goes and he becomes American. And I think a number of British people, Kingdomy people go, oh, that's...
Mm. But the Americans have got no concept of him being this kind of like foppish character.
Well, they don't know he's English.
They don't even know that he's English,
a lot of people.
When I saw the film Reservoir Dogs, with Tim Roth, the actor, I just naturally assumed he was American. Mm. And then saw him in Pulp Fiction, and I remember saying, Tim Roth's English accent's not the best. And my mate goes, "You know he's actually English." No, he's not. It's like Dexter Fletcher in Press Gang.
He was American in Press Gang, and now he's English.
Yeah, he always was.
Well, I know, but I always thought he was an American, and Julia Sawala was.
You know,
English.
Dexter Fletcher, he was in like Bugsy Malone. In Press Gang, and then he was in
Band of Brothers.
Yeah, he's
Band
in,
of Brothers.
He's, there you go.
Mm.
Oh, and the guy in Kick-Ass, he's not American either.
Nobody is.
Buckinghamshire.
Everyone in America isn't.
They're all
American.
Liars.
They're going, "Look, this is really hard keeping this accent thing going." Is it Delano de Parmesan?
Water.
Winter water.
Foosball.
Yeah, all that.
Are you saying that America is one big massive tax dodge for people who want to pretend to be from somewhere else?
No, not a tax dodge. They just got lost on the boat.
Fine, okay. And they land in America and they go, "Wow, this place is absolutely amazing."
Mm. Yeah. Oh my God, they got this water.
Water everywhere. Fish.
Well, you know, the one thing that a lot of our ancestors, cousins or whatever, way back then, they went off and they were adventurous. Obviously, they were going to a new world, but they lacked town naming imagination because they left Plymouth and they said, "We'll call this
Plymouth,
I suppose,
or Plymouth,
and that will be London." If you look around Plymouth, that's all true. London, Hastings, Brighton.
Yeah,
they've just got off the boat. Get the old map, right?
And there's Birmingham,
Birmingham,
Alabama.
True.
Sunderland.
And the other ones are Native American names.
Like Minnesota.
Cadillac.
Helicopter.
Where do you live, Eddie? Where is home?
I live here, and I live in LA. I go backwards and forwards to try and export to myself there. And I needed to do that because I didn't get a huge... You know, some people get a massive career and it takes off, but I had to go there and say that I was there. And when I did The Riches, I was there for a long time. So.
Right.
So I'm doing stuff here. I'm about to do Treasure Island for Sky TV, and then I'm going to do more stuff over there. I'm just
in the studio next door?
Next door.
Oh, okay. Mm.
That's cold corridor.
Wow, that's one extra. That's a sister station. Mm. I didn't know you were going to do a show
station.
There.
You've got a sister station?
Yeah, through the glass.
Is that your brother's station?
Well, no, but it's a sister station. I think we should be brothers, but we're
blood
brothers, sisters.
Yeah, blood sisters.
Crazy, isn't it?
Mm. It's crazy old world. But yeah, so I'm here and there, but I'm filming.
Are you around in London for a while now?
I'm just here for this week, then I'm off to film in Ireland.
Oh, nice.
And then French next
do you want,
year
do you
in
wanna,
Paris. Which
do you want to go out and get some way. Lunch or something or dinner yeah. one night while you're here?
Yeah.
I don't want to put any pressure on you, but
we got to go.
You
now.
Are.
Well, no.
We got to go now.
Do you we don't go now.
No, because I fly on Monday. But yeah, if we do that.
But yeah, but today's only Thursday.
Yeah, I know, we'll do it.
Well, are you busy between now and then?
No, we're going to do it.
Sure. Do you drink?
Yeah, anything.
Really?
Including diesel oil.
Have you ever had a Jaeger bomb?
No.
Why do we do that?
Do you like singing karaoke?
No.
Never?
Do you like watching people sing karaoke?
Okay, the reason I asked this is because we happen to have a karaoke evening scheduled for ce soir.
That's excellent.
Which is French for tonight.
That's what I... No, because we have a screening of Believe going out to 50 cinemas around the country today. That's being screened at Cineworld.
Ah, okay.
In London here. And it's also going out to any Cineworld cinema around the country.
50 cinemas around the UK?
Yeah.
Right tonight?
Tonight. And we're doing a Q&A afterwards. Me and Sarah Townsend, the director, and Phil Jupitus is hosting it.
Well, why don't you... Well, you know, we kind of... Why don't you... Do you have to be there for the screening?
Yeah, because I'm going to do that, and then I'm going to do the Q&A.
Can you do the Q&A on the phone from the pub while we're doing karaoke?
Nope.
I just don't think you're trying.
I'm not, because I don't want to be the karaoke, because karaoke doesn't really work.
Well, that's because you've never seen it done properly.
With respect, you're wrong.
there was no respect in that line.
we're gonna find a pub that does karaoke tonight, and we're just gonna turn up with a group of friends. We're not doing a show or anything. We're just gonna rock up and find a place at the bar
and sing our socks off.
Yeah. Great. Mm-hmm.
And do you want to turn that down for a massive 50 cinema screening around the UK of your latest DVD offering, which is a personal insight to you and your emotions and how you feel and how you get from one place to another and the fact that you can achieve all your goals?
It's the initial struggle story. Maybe.
You'd rather do that than sing All I Want for Christmas Is You by Mariah Carey with me and Dominic?
Yeah. Can't figure that out.
I tell you what, your next DVD should be unbelievable. That's what it should be. Why don't we do a video of us going to the pub tonight and call it Believe This, right? And then, or I Believe.
And then we
can
put it on in 50 cinemas somewhere.
I think we've lost Eddie. Mm.
No, I'm not great at karaoke. You really done karaoke tonight?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to have a whale of a time.
Oh, yeah. I've heard. You love it, don't you?
Do whales ever say that?
Well, I have a whale human of a time.
Yeah, yeah.
Of a dolphin of a time.
well, look, just let me know if you maybe over the weekend or something.
Yeah,
if you want,
absolutely.
You can come out to mine and watch X Factor on Saturday and I'll cook.
That's not a good idea.
Either. Right, fine, whatever.
Well, no, I've got things on that
sure,
day,
but sure. Mm. Things on
Sunday.
Sunday, I'll have to double check. Can I get back to you?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks. I'm so demanding, isn't it? Eddie's DVD, Believe, the Eddie Izzard story, is out on Monday. If you can't wait, why not pre-order it? That's what I would do.
And I think it should be downloadable on iTunes as well.
Oh, it's good. Is it?
I think so.
I like that. And then I can watch it on the TV thing that I've got.
It's very good. And it's buyable and there's... Yes. It's good. You should have a look at
it. Well, I've watched things before. I always like watching kind of behind-the-scenes-y things.
But it's not one of these, he's got trousers and a hat. It's kind of digs around. That's why I got the Emmy nomination.
Yeah. Well, I know, I can tell you're very proud of it.
I know.
You're excited by it, and I want to see it.
And I just lived it, you know. But it's nice that it's there. Hopefully someone else will find it.
Is it similar to the Take That documentary that was on last Saturday?
No.
Right, okay.
Mm. There's less of you.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I didn't see the Take That documentary, but I assume we're coming from a slightly different place.
You weren't even in the Take That documentary.
No.
I don't think.
Didn't even get mentioned.
No, no. I don't think they even mentioned Eddie.
They refused to. Yeah. I didn't want to be mentioned, and they refused to mention. we agreed not to.
Well, Eddie was integral. I don't know if many people know, but Eddie was integral to the whole Robbie leaving take that.
Yeah.
And they've really hushed it up.
Yeah.
I was there at the time.
Yeah.
In the United Kingdom.
Yeah. Mm. Eddie went...
I was standing in London.
Eddie went, you should just leave. Yeah. And to Robbie. And Robbie went, you right, mate, I'm going. And that was it.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah, that's true.
And now people think that's myth. It's like the Captain Pugwash myth. It's just become myth. But it is actually true.
It's true.
The Captain Pugwash thing isn't, but the Eddie Izzard thing is.
That's a myth? What, Captain
Pugwash? Yeah, the characters in Captain Pugwash that were rude. There. That's a myth.
Mm. Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought it was legend.
No, yeah, but it's myth. Mm.
It's a mythical legend.
Is it incorrect? Or
it's incorrect.
Oh, it's incorrect.
Yeah. And I can't go down this road anymore because...
No, it involves saying names that you shouldn't really say.
Yeah. I think it involves someone else talking about it on the radio once and man involved going, I'm sick of this. No, stop it.
Oh,
it's not true.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So none of them have the names that they have?
No.
Let me... No.
Which is a shame, isn't it?
But how do those things become such public knowledge if they're factually incorrect?
Do you
want to
know my theory on this?
Yeah.
I have two theories on this. Number one is that Victor Lewis Smith came up with this myth.
Yeah,
and wrote it as a joke, or whatever, and it carried weight, right? And theory number two I have is Victor Lewis Smith never did, but claimed that, because that might be the kind of thing that Victor would do.
Is this like in the same way that the guy in your local pub, Dave, who plays the keyboard, said that he wrote the theme tune to Blockbusters, but actually never did? But everyone in the lounge bar certainly thinks that he did write the theme tune.
Everyone in the village where I live in Leeds thinks that he wrote the theme tune to Blockbusters, but he never did.
I can prove America went to the moon.
Can you?
Yeah, and I like that because, you know, I'm just supporting that because I like the moon thing. I thought they were us. Yeah, you know, it was humans,
right?
You know, going to the moon. That's because we didn't in the United Kingdom get to the moon, but they can prove it because Russia was the first satellite in space, man in space, woman in space, spacewalk, and first orbit around the Earth. Mm. And then America pips them to the moon. So who was the most annoyed about that? Russia. Who had the equipment that could prove whether the signal was coming from the Earth or the moon? Mm. Russia. How many times did they land on the moon? 6 times. What did you hear anything negative from Russia about whether they had landed or not? Not a peep. Not a peep, peep, peep. So therefore, they would have. They would have loved that. They would have. They would have loved to put that out and be able to prove it that it was wrong.
Are the photos of the moon landing real?
Well, I don't know, but I just they did.
Right.
The point is, they did land on it.
Well, no, well, yeah.
Whether you went on holiday or whether your holiday snaps came out.
I thought you were getting involved in the theory that people go, no, I don't believe they actually did land on the moon. And then they have photos. Mm. But a lot of people say, no. Okay, they might have landed on the moon, but I don't think these photos.
Oh, I'm bothered about the photos.
Oh, right, fine.
That's photography conspiracy.
If you look carefully.
That's the evidence that they landed on the moon.
No, the evidence they landed on the moon is the stuff they left up there.
Well, yeah, but you say that. How many golf balls are on the moon, Eddie Izzard?
Well, none, surely.
Incorrect.
He missed one.
Incorrect.
He missed one.
Is it?
How many?
A.
2. 9.
B.
74.
4.
8.
Yeah,
G.
Yeah, you might need to check
19.
Six. Yeah, you might need to... And the answer's 3.
Oh, 11.
So you need to give that...
Okay, right.
G. Or
7
D.
Million.
3.
Okay, what are you going for?
I've just said 7 million.
No, you're wrong. It's 3.
Oh,
I thought it was 7. Just lost £10,000.
You had music for that?
We have music for everything. You name something.
What about music for someone saying, I've just retiled my bathroom? Have you got music for that? No. I've just retiled my bathroom and I was being chased by a dragon at the time.
It's a bit blinky-blonky for a dragon.
Big, teethy one.
Mm. You name anything. We're there. I'm there. I am there to supply the
but
music.
That music didn't
for your feet.
That wasn't tiling. The
what, for tiling?
Tiling. We're doing some tiling. Grouting.
What is that? That's
Emmerdale.
Yeah.
It's Emmerdale.
Yeah.
Is that the Now thing?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
It was Emmerdale Farm, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, it's been Emmerdale for years.
I know. But I missed the chunk when they changed. And I remember switching back on and they're going, if you two There's a lot more
racing. You two were never in Emmerdale.
Can you imagine?
Hello
Bono
there.
With
hello there.
Hello there.
It was way more racing than it was before.
Could you get those sheep out of the barn and get them thing? Because it's getting a bit stormy. And that so was, can you remove those drugs from the back of my Ferrari?
Will you associate that music with tiling? Are we happy with that? Mm. Is that a success?
Nope.
Oh, come on.
Emmerdale farm tiling? Emmerdale, even without the farm?
That's speed tiling.
No, that's like tiling on the edge of a cliff because it really kicks in it, you know, after a bit, doesn't it?
Oh, okay.
And that bit's when you jump off the cliff. Yeah.
Tiling! Come on, tile with me, Eddie!
That would be. I'll tell you what, that would be tiling the bathroom on Saturday evening, primetime television.
With Ant Deck.
Yeah. We're going to tile this thing.
It's 7:30. It's Saturday night. Let's tile the bathroom! Come on!
Actually, that'd be good music to do it. I once did paint my room when I was at university all night, listening to Radio 2 in the old days.
Oh, Eddie.
Because that was the only thing that was on, and it was all night trucking. And the woman who was doing it had the voice that would like trucking through it, and it was really somnambulistic voice that would actually put you to. I just thought truckers are going to be driving into
what voice did she have? A what?
Somnambulistic? Through the night. Somnambulistic?
I don't know that word.
That's why they have those rumble strips to wake them up if they do veer off the road.
Well, the rumble strips are great, aren't they? We've all
enjoyed a rumble strip. Mm.
That's for tiling?
Tiling.
That's tiling in the morning. That's not tiling at prime time.
You never specified the hour of the day.
No, I know.
So you've got to at least meet
what
me
is that? The theme tune?
Terry and June. You've got to at least...
How have you got these? You've got to listen to
this. This is my job, Eddie. This is what I do.
Yeah, it's tragic,
you know,
isn't it?
You mention an animal, I have a sound.
Have you got the theme to Pogle's Wood, then?
No, I don't have Pogle's Wood, sadly.
You sure not under P anywhere?
Let me have a look.
Pogle's Wood. You got Pingu, I think.
I don't have Pingu.
You got Pingu?
Oh, in the CD somewhere, okay. We have that. Yeah. But I don't have Pogle's Wood, sadly. I have Strictly Come Dancing.
No.
That's Spooks. Not. Hollyoaks. Although not the new one, it's the last one. Tiling.
In Chester.
No.
Check out my bathroom.
Just a thought.
where's that base? Where's Hollywood's base?
Chester. Although, do you know what? It's actually filmed in Liverpool, but all the external shots are Chester.
Oh, right, because I ran through Chester.
Did you? Chester's beautiful.
Yeah, and I went over the river...
D.
And I said there was a... Which I thought was very funny. Just for me, I said, this is the United Kingdom. We have the River D, got the River E further up here, just by being past the River C.
Yeah.
So the River A. River Z is up in Scotland. Mm.
That's how it works.
And I said, that's how we roll.
And interestingly, leading off from Roman place names, St Albans, Verulamium, and Chester, of course, was Diva.
Called Diva?
Another Roman settlement.
D-I-V-A.
D-E-V-A.
D-E-V-A.
Now, that's where you get your driving licence from.
That's D-V-L-A in Swansea.
Right, oh, yeah.
And I ran through Devizes, which means at the end of the boundary, apparently, according to the traffic guy who was there helping us.
I've just eaten an entire packet of toffos.
Have you?
Wow, have you? Yeah.
You've just ate toffos?
Yeah, I couldn't really join any of yours. What about you? What have you just
eaten? Yeah, I had 14 yoghurts yesterday.
Wow.
I was mullered. Do you like that?
You can have that.
Mullet. Oh, right.
Because of, like, mullet is a yoghurt.
Like a brand of yoghurt.
Wicked. Yeah. I'm not going to use that.
No.
Eddie, I could chat with you all day, but I'm sensing that you couldn't, and you're busy and have things to do.
I could do a 24-hour
show with us.
Talk thing, yeah.
Should we do that?
Yeah.
One day? How about that?
Yeah.
Hey, what a show.
But your show stops at some point, don't they?
It does, yeah.
Don't they say go home?
Well, you can stay. I'll go home. How about that?
Can't get this guy out.
Eddie Izzard and Chris Moyles doing an exclusive 24-hour show on Radio 1. Chris will be there for 3.5 hours, and Eddie will be there for the full 24.
I think I could go mad doing that.
No. But that's an idea, though. We should look
into.
It is
an idea we should look into for future
broadcasts.
We
need to do something that Eddie hasn't done. So Eddie's done the big run thing. Now he's going to swim round the world.
Mm-hmm. And tiled my bathroom.
His bathroom. He's going to tile the entire, every bathroom in St Albans.
Yeah.
And then...
That'd be a great show.
We just tile the UK. If we tiled the United Kingdom, the whole surface of it, then you could slide much quicker from place to place.
You could. A lot of Birmingham is tiled. Have you noticed? Like all those underpasses are all heavily tiled.
Ah.
Yeah. It's probably one of the most tiled cities in Britain.
I don't hang out in the underpasses. Mm. But
I know what you mean.
All right, we need, we're drifting into it's very odd territory, even by everyone's standards.
But they've redone the centre of Birmingham, haven't they?
Yeah, the bull ring's nice.
Oh, it's lovely.
Yeah,
it's
the bull ring, the bulls are gone, they've let them free. Yeah. They run loose. Mm. They've gone, Pamplona and the bull ring and Birmingham had a deal.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so the bulls run, they do the running of the bulls in Birmingham. Mm.
I didn't think it was that funny.
That was the biggest laugh I've heard since I was 12 and I first came on your show.
By the way, I think it's spelled D-E-W-A. I think that's how it's spelled.
D-E-W-A?
D-E-V-A.
Well, it would be Dewa.
Well, Rob says it was...
Rob, with respect, Rob's wrong.
It's pronounced Dewa, but spelled Dewa.
Are you Chester person?
No, but my family's from the Wirral, which is just across the water.
Around the water.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Eddie, somebody texted in saying, I saw Eddie run past my house in Chester.
Tree.
There you see? And that's from Rodri. And by the way, that was the entire plan, that Eddie would go, if I run around the whole country, then it won't be obvious. I just want to run past his house.
Mm. Yeah.
No, but people used to say, did you enjoy the running? And I said, no, I enjoyed the stopping. Yeah. And I used to actually find reasons to stop. I remember running past the house and they were painting the house. I said, what are you doing? He said, we're painting the house. They said, what are you doing? I'm running around the United Kingdom. Oh, what? And after 15 marathons, no one believes you. I found that it's like saying,
oh, I bet.
I have eaten my car. You know, no one would react. I was trying to say, you know, I've run 16 marathons to here. And they go, all right, yeah, do you want some tea or what? You know, just nothing. I couldn't get
because
them.
People can't, your mind can't.
It wouldn't go in unless they heard it on the radio.
And the same way that when I watched the documentary, which was fascinating, by the way, and our good friend Rob Farquhar worked on that, didn't he? Rob was the poor little you know, guy. There's a great bit in it where you're running, and it's that lovely bit where David Tennant's narrating it, and it's just on the bit where basically it's the Eddie gets easily distracted bit, where you kind of seemingly running, and you're going, "Hey, I'm running," and a garage, I'll get a Solero, that'll do, and I'll go for a little walk, and I'll do this, and then there's a bit later on where you stop. A Calippo, not a Solero, it's a Calippo.
Mixer between calipers and the hippo.
And he
hippos and calipers.
It was at Virginia Water and I went to look at the ducks.
You did. And then there's another bit where you have ice cream and beer.
No, they brought me a beer. Right. I was in the ice cream van. Yeah. The ice cream van was so we could sell T-shirts to raise money. But
you
then,
just sold ice creams?
Yeah, because the ice cream van were great, the people who made it. And then they said, we could put some free ice creams in. And so we could give them away and then ask for donations in a kind of...
Right. Mm.
And then we got some ice cream van people turning up saying, get out of it. You can't sell
it. What, you're on our pitch?
Yes. We got turf wars. I saw turf wars happening.
Oh, I was like, this is
the charity. I don't give a charity.
One ice cream van. Now two ice cream vans. Mm. But only one village. Who will reign supreme? Paid for ice creams or free ice creams with donation to Sport Relief.
And then they were driving around with the music going, you know, ding, 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 they're chasing
each other. That's the only music I don't have. We finally now got to the point where I have no ice cream chimes, ice cream van chimes.
Because it was Green Sleeves. I said, I can't go around with Green Sleeves playing endlessly. So it changed to Chariots of Fire.
Yeah. See, now you're hitting me with everything I don't have now. Now I'm feeling bad.
Ice cream music.
Yeah, oh.
If you just but said... that, then someone brought me. I was selling ice creams and someone brought me a beer.
But did you drink it?
I drank half of it, but, you know, I was running, so it's crazy.
Well, sure, this is what it means. All right, so, Eddie, lovely to see you. Thanks for coming in to see us. And give me a shout about Sunday.
Yeah.
If you, I don't know if you have any plans. You just want to hang out or do something special. We could go to the park, feed the ducks.
Yeah, well...
You go to Watton Towers?
I get up at 7 a.m. Let's do something.
Sure. Well, I don't get up till about 8:30, 9.
So you could bring the bread, couldn't you?
It's my day off. So,
I know. I suppose you will. You'll probably get up, even if it's you'd still get up early because I was saying that's quite early.
No, well, what, 9 o'clock?
I was joking. Get up at 7.
Oh, you?
I'm not really here.
You tease
I just,
you.
I'm on the phone.
All right. What now?
Yeah.
Fine.
I'm not here. Am I?
Who?
This is hologram. No,
who?
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Eddie Izzard.
Yay. Thank you very much.
Can we play Lady Gaga?
Wait, are we not doing Tedious today?
Yeah, I'll do it in a minute.